The Apostle Paul, on his fourth journey, had been in Ephesus for 3 years. And then he decides to go to Macedonia. But he leaves Timothy behind to guide an unruly and troubled church. So in Macedonia, he decides that he needs to encourage Timothy a little bit, so he sends him a letter of encouragement and instruction. So we go to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given at its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing."
Thank you for reading that so meaningfully. Very nice. Very, very helpful. We are called by God several times in Scripture to pray for our leaders. We pray for them because we want to, as he wrote to Timothy, that we might live a peaceful and quiet life, that we might lift up holy hands without quarreling and anger, that our life might be one that is holy and acceptable to God. And leaders are key to that happening in our lives. Not just leaders in Washington, although that's very important, but leaders throughout our life. We've just been, this passage is very relevant to our society today. Because we do need strong leaders. We need leaders who lift up holy hands without anger and quarreling. We want to live a quiet and peaceful life in a way that is respectful of all. And we ask our leaders to be an example of that. We expect that of them. And we expect it of ourselves in our whatever leadership roles we've got. And our society is, the last couple of years, has had a lot of problems with violent speech, hurtful words being said. We had a very divisive political campaign. And sociologists have pointed out how this problem has been spreading around the country. Road rage, obscene gestures, killings in homes, schools, workplaces, bullying, ways in which we never thought that we as a society would ever move. We've had a lot of issues that have made us feel that our society is coming apart. What's the source of all that? What is the source of these things? I don't think we can blame it on one place or another place. The source comes from, first of all, I think a lack of respect. We are called in this lesson to respect our leaders, to pray for them, not to just throw aspersions at them. One time we have a monthly gathering of pastors, as you might know, called the Winkle. And one time, a few years back, there was a discussion, and we were talking about the political situation in the country at that time. And they said, pastor said, well, Bush that, and Bush this, and Bush that. And one of the pastors said, gentlemen, it's President Bush. It's President Bush. Not just Bush, it's President Bush. We respect those who are in authority. When I came back from India, we served there as missionaries for 15 years, and I was shocked, because there's a lot of respect for authority there in homes and so forth. I won't go into all the cultural things. But I came, and I was surprised when I was in the parish in Wisconsin, and I'd have young people, confirmation class and so forth, saying, well, you know, George this and John that. And I said, that's your father, isn't it? George? You call your father George? I mean, it's just kind of the respect. This person is a person of authority in my life, and I need to recognize that. And so he says in our text that we should pray for all those who are in authority and respect them. Well, how do we do that? What kind of prayer should we have? Let me share with you from Psalm 72. I should have pulled this out a little bit more quickly. Here we are. Okay. We are called to pray for those in authority. In this case, prayer for the king. Give the king thy justice, O God, and thy righteousness to the royal son. May he judge thy people with righteousness and the poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. That's a leader we respect. Somebody who carries out the will of God for a nation. And I would say also anybody in authority, whether it's a teacher or a coach or a parent or a grandparent, people look up to you. And when we live a life like that and our leaders live a life like that, our Lord says this is good and acceptable, as our text says, in the eyes of God our Savior. And God can and will bless the nation. God can and will bless our families when we ourselves are the ones who take the example and carry out that example before them. John Calvin was a reformer at the time of Martin Luther. And he had an interesting saying. He said, the sin of the king is worse than the sin of the pauper. The pauper is an ordinary peasant kind of person. What did he mean by that? If the king, if a pauper is a thief or an immoral person or somebody who is abusive of other people, how many people does that affect? Well, just that few people who know him and his family and his surroundings. But if a king is like that, how many people does it affect? Everybody who looks up to him. And so he said, the king, because the effects of a person in authority, their sins, have a much greater effect on a greater number of people. When I was a circuit counselor at that time, circuit visitor, I was in a parish in Wisconsin, I'd have young pastors come in and they would say, well, you know, I too am human. And I would tell them, you are not. You are not just another human. You are an example in this congregation. You are an example to the community. What they see in you is what they think is all right in life. And that's true of all of us too, isn't it, in our roles? People look to us. So this is what a Christian is like. This is what a Christian's attitude is. This is the kind of words that Christians speak. This is the kind of way they treat the poor and the needy in the land. The immigrants, the Muslims, all the people who are minorities. And then they judge the faith, don't they? Paul had a way in which he said, what you have seen and heard in me, do. How many of us? He knew that he was an example. All those congregations were looking up to him. What does it mean to be a Christian? How should a Christian act? How should a Christian live? How should a Christian speak? And so he had to say, what you see and hear in me, do. Because whether or not he wanted it to be the case, it was the case. They were going to look to him. That's what it means to lead a Christian life. And so we pray, we should pray for our leaders. We should pray for ourselves. Because each one of us is in different types of leadership positions, aren't we? You're a parent. You're a grandparent. You are members of clubs. You have friends in your community. And if they see somebody who's not a Christian doing certain things, speaking in certain ways, and talking about people in disrespectful ways, they don't think that doesn't affect Jesus' name. But when we do it, it affects Jesus. It's very interesting that this passage gets connected with evangelism. What is the connection between good politics in a society and evangelism? He says, pray for the leaders and all those in authority that all men may know the truth and come to faith. What effect do good leaders have on evangelism? Well, think about your own life. Why are you here this morning? What inspired you to follow this path of Jesus in your life? And I'm sure every one of us could say, it was this person, that person. They showed me the path. This is why I am here today, is because I found Jesus in the way this person acted, in the way this person carried out their life. That leader affected us. And so we pray for our leaders at all levels of society, praying that they would be Christian examples, that people who look up to them would then be able to say, so that's what a Christian is like. That is the way God wants us to live. That's what it means to lift up holy hands without anger and quarreling. That's what it means to live a life that is peaceable, that quiet and peaceable, with respect for all. But then that makes us also pray not just for our leaders, but for ourselves, doesn't it? Because every one of us is a leader in different parts of our life. And God has expectations of us. He has put certain people into our life. And he wants us to be an example of the faith before them, that they also might come to know the truth and follow Jesus with their lives. How are we doing? Are we lifting up holy hands in our lives and prayers without quarrel and wrangling and anger? When we talk about the different political issues or social issues or whatever it is, do we do so in a way that is respectful and gentle and has the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Because people are listening and people are watching, aren't they? Those people who know us and respect us. And our lives and our words and our attitudes are either leading them to Christ or turning them away from Christ. God has given us people to lead to him. Are we being conformed to all the kind of acrimony that goes on in our society? Or are we being, as Paul said, transformed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our lives? We're not perfect. We know that. We have our weaknesses. But like I told those pastors, that is not an excuse. It's a time for repentance. It's a time when we recognize what God expects of us and where we have failed, and we ask him to renew our lives in his service. Because we indeed will be held accountable for those people he has entrusted to us, and what kind of example we have been in the faith towards them. Because every one of us is a leader. Every one of us has people looking up to them. Whether you're a young person and your younger brothers and sisters or other friends in school, or you're an older person with grandchildren, every one of us is called to be the aroma of Jesus Christ, to have the mind of Christ in all that we say and do. We know, by God's grace, he who is the mediator of all has mediated for us, as our text says. He has paid the price for our sins, and he continues to intercede for us to the Father. Continues to pray that the Holy Spirit would be sent upon us, and that our lives would be renewed by his grace and strength. We have the assurance of his unending love and forgiveness, and the assurance of the unrelenting call of his grace to renew us in our life. And one prayer that we can use, that I personally use regularly, is often used in our liturgy, is the one that another great leader in Scripture, King David, wrote when he knew he needed to repent, in Psalm 51. I just read that. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin by your grace. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified in thy sentence and blameless in thy judgment. But hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will return to thee. By my example of humility, by my example of seeking a renewed life with holy hands, such a leader who humbles himself before the Lord will be blessed and honored by God. And we pray that each one of us will be such a leader in our lives. In Jesus' name.